Welcome to my daily teaching video. Graham Jones here, and in a minute we're going to jump into the Word. I've been teaching all month long about the promises of God and how to apply, how to activate, how to actually come to the place where you live a life where the promises of God aren't some sort of vague ethereal concept out there, but they're actually part of your ongoing experience with God. It's good to have you here. Two or three quick housekeeping things. I have a book called The Promise, which is all about the promises of God. I encourage you to grab a hold of a copy of this. You could purchase one on Amazon, link below from our website, or we can send you a free copy as a PDF when you subscribe to our email newsletter, link below. I've got lots of things going on my ministry, too many to mention. If you are new to my YouTube channel, thank you for being here. We have nearly 1.2 million subscribers now, so why not join that group by hitting the cute little subscribe button down there. Consider signing up for our email newsletter. And lastly, a big thank you to all of the partners and contributors to our ministry. We love and appreciate you guys. And we're able to bring these videos in front of hundreds of thousands of people now every month because of ordinary people like you who send, you know, some people send a dollar a month, some a lot more. But appreciate if you'd pray about becoming a contributor and a partner to our ministry. Again, link below if you are interested in that. Good. So let's carry on talking about faith. So I've been teaching about the promises of God and the importance of obtaining the promises of God. Really, it's absolutely vital that we do this. You know, Paul writes at the end of 1 Corinthians and tells the Corinthians he's going to come and visit them. And then he begins his second epistle to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, by saying, you know, if I can translate, it's like he goes, "My bad, I said I was going to come and see you and I didn't. I gave you a yes, but my action didn't match. My yes became a no. My word was yea and it ended up being nay." But then he says, all the promises of God, a yes and amen, in Christ Jesus, to the glory of God, through us. And I think it's really vital that we catch and understand that glory is brought to God through us when we stand in the promises of God. The Bible says, don't be lazy, but don't be slothful, literally, King James says, but be followers, pursuers of those who through faith and patience inherit promises. Now, we need leaders in the body of Christ, but as I said in a previous video, what qualifies somebody to be a leader, at least biblically, at least one of the characteristics, is that they obtain promises. Their life has produced something. I have this approach I've always had for years, and I don't even defend it or say I'm correct. I think at times I'm actually incorrect, but here's how it is. Whenever somebody recommends a book to me, or, "Oh, Graham, you should listen to this guy or this lady or read this book," I'll be honest, I'm very loath to do it. And the first question I always ask is why, and I don't mean why, like, is the teaching good or is this a great book to read or whatever. I want to know what they've done. I want to know what they have produced with what they are teaching. And if I don't see something substantive, if I see simply somebody who communicates great ideas or writes a great book, I'm like, well, I'm not impressed. I'm not going to lend you my ear. I'm not going to loan you my time if your faith hasn't produced results. So we should follow those who through faith and endurance and perseverance produce promises, obtain promises. But more important than that, I think we should be those who produce promises. We should have it as an ambition in our life that anybody who gets around us, even if they don't agree with us, even if they don't believe in the things of God, they will see in our life the reality of promises. And I want to continue on the same line I was in last week. I was speaking last week about the journey we go. So often we're in there's like a honeymoon stage to our faith where we get a word from God, a promise, and it's all exciting. Wow, God's going to do this. And sometimes, especially for a young baby Christian, it's like we pray and bang, things happen, and we think we've got this faith thing really well figured out. And what most of us end up doing is we end up hitting roadblocks. We end up at times believing for things and then coming into a season in our life where it seems like they don't work. It seems like they're not happening. It seems, at least the world around us would say to us, God does not honor his promises. Now, again, I'm a local church pastor. This is my church I'm sitting in today. Nobody ever stands up in my church and says, hey, brothers and sisters, I just want to say God doesn't honor his promises. Yeah, nobody ever says that. But that's often the underlying belief, the underlying lie, the underlying thought that goes on in people's hearts and in people's minds whenever they approach the promises of God. It says in the book of Proverbs, like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint, so is confidence in an unfaithful man in the day of trouble. Like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint, so is confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble. And so much of religion has taught us that God's promises are wonderful. Yes, amen. We get all like religiosity when we talk about them. And yet, if we're really honest, if you gave us some truth serum, sodium pentothal or something, you said, tell me what you really think about the promises of God, we'd look at them like a broken tooth, like a foot out of joint, like something we couldn't lean upon. If I had a chair, I have a stool next to me here. And imagine if this was really beautiful, but I secretly know if anybody sits on it, it's going to collapse under their weight. I might look at it, I might talk about its beauties and its joys, but if somebody said, hey, Graham, sit down, I'd be scared. It would not hold my weight. And I tell you, a lot of people live in that way where they secretly think God's word will not hold their weight. And I want to help you through that today. By simply explaining this, I think the Lord takes us through three stages in our life. The first stage is like a baby stage to our faith, a stage where we believe and it's wonderful and wow, I can, yeah, and it's all new and nobody's ever suggested it wouldn't happen. Most of us go through a second stage. It's like a wilderness stage. It's like the children of Israel leaving Egypt. They're on the way to the promised land, but they pass through a wilderness, a place of testing, a place of trial, a place where they can't see the promised land. All they can see is sand, a place where it seems like none of this really works and none of this really happens. You know, I'll tell you a story. I grew up in a wonderful church. I mean, grew up as a Christian, I should say. I came to the Lord at age 14, and I went to a great church in the UK. A church that I love and honor, and I'm so grateful for, and I learned many great things there. And yet, whenever it came to the subject of things like healing, I want to be clear, this church really believed in healing. And yet, my honest testimony was, I'm sure people were occasionally healed, but I hardly ever saw people healed. I see the same sick people go out, hands laid on them, and then them just shuffle back just as sick as they came. And it was like, as a young man watching this, it seemed to me it wasn't real. And there was always an excuse. It's not God's timing. It might not be God's will. God's sovereign. God's trying to teach him something. A million different things. And I got really frustrated that I got to the place where I simply didn't believe this. And the time came in my life where I really wanted to know, was healing real or was it not? And as a young man, I made an appointment to go and see my pastor and talk this through with him. He was a really great guy, a wise guy. And it's amazing in a way. He didn't actually have an answer for me that satisfied me or even satisfied him. Bottom line was like, he said, yeah, this healing thing, I don't know. But he said something to me which set me off on a course and really helped me. He didn't give me an answer, but he gave me a framework to find an answer. And he said, Graham, never stop asking the question. Ask and seek and knock. And then he quoted Matthew 7. To everyone who asks, receives. To him who seeks, he will find. To him who knocks, the door will be open. And in a way, he was saying, Graham, if you're not willing to give up your search for this answer, if you keep pursuing God, pursuing his word, you will experience breakthrough. And he said that. I took his answer at face value. I began to do that, and I began to get answers. And I don't have all the answers, but I consistently see people healed in my life right now because of some of those answers I received at that day. My point is, we will go through a season where our faith is tested, and we really, it's binary issue. There are two choices. We can either turn back, throw in the towel, go back to Egypt. Oh, this stuff doesn't work. There is no promised land. There's just sand and, you know, rocks out here in the desert. Or we can hold on. We can cast not away our confidence, which is great recompense of reward, because we have need of patience. And we can say, I'm not letting go of God's word. I'm not letting go of his promises. And then in the same way, there's that binary choice. Go on or come back. In my experience, there's a binary result that happens. That those who refuse to give up on God's word, on God's promises, will always, sooner or later, enter into that promised land or land of promises, or they'll experience the promises of God lived and worked out in their life. Now, there's a third stage I believe God wants to bring us into, and I really love this stage. There's a place where we believe, but it's like a naive, childlike belief. There's that second place of testing where we believe, and yet we're tested on it, and we're sort of holding on, like, I believe, but I haven't yet seen. You know, we're like Thomas' faith, you know, I believe, but I'd like to see this, but I haven't yet believed. And then there's a place of faith where we believe. We believe because of God's word. We believe because we've been tested, but we also believe because it's produced ongoing results in our life. And there's a place of unconscious, confident faith where we've learned we trust God because he says he's faithful. We trust God because he's given us his promises, but we equally trust God because we're living. We've proved this again and again and again and again and again. We're not telling a secondhand tale. We're saying, I know in whom I believed. He's come through for me. He's never let me down. David at the end of his life said, I've been young, I'm now older. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread. And I believe we can come through to that place where we have a testimony of God's faithfulness that will never let us down, that will never fail us. And that's a great place to be. And I encourage you, if you're, whatever stage you're at, most Christians are sort of sitting in between the baby stage and the testing stage, and they go through the many people don't make it through the testing stage. They hardly ever come through and break out into consistent victory and consistent testimony. So if that's you today, I want to encourage you to not give up, to press on. Like I said, there's two choices, forward or backwards. Onward, Christian soldiers, to press on into the things of God. And I believe if you do that, you will see great victory and great results. Hey, I'm going to end it here for today, guys, and I'm going to be back tomorrow talking about truly defining faith, what faith really is and how we grow in our faith. Again, encourage you to pick up a copy of one of these or sign up for our email newsletter below, and we will give you a free copy as a PDF. Thanks for watching. Drop me a comment. Love to hear from you. And bless you in Jesus' name. Bye for now.